It's a Green Hat Podcast. Episode number one. Christmas tree and little puppies. This is my next episode that I'm recording right now. And I'm standing here scratching my head looking at a Christmas tree that I bought from Home Depot. I never bought a Christmas tree from Home Depot before. It's one of those mystery trees, you know, it's kind of wrapped up in that mesh kind of stuff that they have leaning against the side based on type of tree and size of tree. And I said, you know what? I'm out here. I need to pick up a tree. I'll just do the easy thing and pick one up and see what I get. I'm looking at it right now. It's having a tough time trying to fall. It also has this big gaping hole in the middle of it. I think we have to turn that one around to the back. Maybe a branch was missing or something. But it's been sitting outside for a little while, so it's a little on the cold side. It's been falling now for about an hour, maybe closer to 2 hours now, and slowly coming down. It really does have a Charlie Brown kind of Christmas tree look to it with this big gape hole in the side. It's kind of dry, so obviously, you know, I've done the standard thing of putting water in the bottom, but I'm almost tempted to go and get a humidifier or something and put a humidifier beneath it to make the tree absorb a better chunk of water. Maybe I might do that. See what'll happen. That's not a bad idea. Kind of think of some topics to discuss. Well, obviously there's Christmas trees. Already kind of talked about where I got mine from. Typically we go off to a tree farm, Saunders Tree Farm, and take all the kids out there, grab a sleigh ride and pick up a tree and a saw and hack one out of the ground. At least then you get to see what they look like as opposed to this bundle surprise. Thinking maybe I should have done that this year as this guy starts to fall. Tree stands are always an important thing. I know that I've debated long and hard to find myself a good tree stand. Right now I'm going with the standard base that is also a water container holder. It's like a cone that's inverted that has the good old-fashioned three types of screw solutions into the bottom. Not exactly very appealing looking, but it's very functional. I had to dig it up out of the basement. We got tons of crap in the basement right now. And that was the one that I found. I was positive we had a cooler looking one, a better looking one that I picked up, you know, one of those high-tech gadget ones. But for life of me, I can't find the damn thing. So I'm using this old standby, I guess you could say. And I'm looking at all the needles all over the floor. The smell is great. If you could smell it, it smells amazing. But the needles are definitely an issue that has to be picked up. I was going to stick my Roomba on them, but I don't know if I'd be able to handle all the needles. I'm going to have to get out the old shop vac instead. My son Mac is going on to 7 years old this Christmas Day, 2008, and he very much enjoys hanging out with me in the kitchen while I'm preparing the food and making dinner and stuff. And either he grabs his homework and sits down at the end of the center island on the kitchen and does some homework, and we do that together, which is always kind of fun. Or he actually wants to help cooking a lot. And it brings me back to when I was growing up. In my family, I'm one of four kids, and we always took turns doing different types of cooking. Everybody had a job to do. Mom and Dad were working, so we had a schedule drawn up. I'm trying to remember how early I was when I was cooking. I think, you know, really cooking, I think I'd have to be closer to grade five. That sounds about right. And basically we had our staple meals, good old Spanish rice and fried pork chops and spaghetti. You know, everybody has those staple comfort meals that we all knew how to make. And basically we learned how to make them either by helping out Mom and Dad or else were given instructions on what to do. And each of us had a job. So one of us had to do mealtime for dinner. One of us had to do dessert. One of us had to load the dishwasher and clean up. And one of us had to set the table. And basically the four kids had to rotate out every single day for Monday through Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, Mom and Dad would make dinner instead. So I remember making all those different types of meals. And tonight we had a recipe that is slowly becoming one of our staples. It's a layered chicken recipe that is actually extremely simple. You simply take a roasted chicken that you buy from a rotisserie in the grocery store. You have a layer of that. It's been all carved up and chopped up into cubes. You have a layer of a cream sauce that is basically a Campbell's cream of chicken with a can of milk, as well as a couple of spices like Mrs. Dash, garlic and herb, pepper and hot peppers or something like that, all stirred together, and then a couple of cups of grated cheddar cheese. And you layer, you take a casserole dish, you layer the bottom with chicken, then you layer on the cheese, and you layer on some sauce, and then more chicken, and more cheese, and more sauce. You top it off with a little bit of cheese. So it's a little cheesy. If you use the lighter variety, it's a little bit healthier for you. But you bake that for about 30 minutes. It's already cooked anyway. You're just kind of warming it up. Serve it on top of rice. Shebang. Bob's your uncle. You got yourself a stick-to-your-ribs, creamy, satisfying meal. So at first, when Kelly was off down east and I was doing meals, it was very daunting coming up with a list of groceries and what to make and what to buy. And I turned back to this one cookbook called Cooking for the Rushed. I'm just going to walk here into the kitchen to remember what the name of the author is. It's Cooking for the Rushed, The Healthy Family by Sandy Richard. And I saw her do a little episode on Canada AM one time. Thought it was a good book to pick up. And I've been using that as kind of the staple of meal planning while Kelly's gone. And I was nervous at first, as I was saying, because the kids are not exactly, I guess you'd say, flexible eaters. They tend to be creatures of habit. So about a month and a half ago, I just decided that, you know what, it's crazy that I'm making two different meals for everybody. So I made everybody sit down and we all muscled our way through a couple of the meals, and now they're actually starting to like them, so things are good. Sure makes grocery shop listing a lot easier. Mac considers this chicken recipe as his recipe now, because provided I do the chopping of the chicken and the removal of the chicken from the rotisserie chicken, roasted chicken carcass, I guess you'd say, for lack of a better term, he is quite content to sit there and mix up all the ingredients for the sauce, use a little whisk and stir them around as I'm chopping up the chicken, and he gets to layer the chicken, layer the sauce, and then also while I'm chopping up the chicken, he's able to get out the food processor with the cheese grater attachment and has great fun feeding the food processor attachment the cheddar cheese to be grated. You have to get about 2 cups, I think, of cheddar cheese. And he gets to put it into the food processor and watch it get grated up bit by bit, which he enjoys, as I probably would have enjoyed when I was his age. And so he gets to layer the chicken, the cheese, and the sauce, and then more chicken and cheese and sauce, and then more cheese. And then I put it in the oven. But he's quite happy to say that he gets to make the whole meal for everybody when we have layered chicken night. Say, you know what, that makes me think, I hate grocery shopping, you know, for me, I need to find some way that I can take the meals that I need to make for the week, find the time to sit down and make a plan for what meals to have during the week, but then also go through and break down the ingredients, check to see what I got inventory of in the house, and then what I need to go buy to make these meals inside the grocery store. And then for me, because I'm a tech guy, what the heck do you put them on so that you can remember what it is that you're buying? And so I'm using my smartphone, but I'm only using my smartphone for doing calculations to figure out if I'm on track with my budget to be able to go off my groceries. I'm not using it in a smart way of being able to actually take my ingredients in a smart fashion and go through the grocery store that is unique to the configuration of the grocery store that I go to. You know, how you walk into the store and the produce is first, and then you got the fish counter and deli counter, and then you just have this regular loop that you go through by habit every time you go grocery shopping. I'd like to be able to configure the application so that I choose my meals, my ingredients, and cross off my inventory, take the delta of that, and go grocery shopping, but then be able to drag that list around so that it has the order of what appears in the store come up in my list, or vice versa, and then I can cross them off and cross them off. Bonus points if I'm actually able to easily go through and cross them off, and you know what? Put on a price. Like, it'd be good to know what the hell it is that I'm paying for all these different grocery items to figure out if I'm doing a good job at choosing the right type of item for the price that I'm paying. So I think I just kind of came up with a spec sheet for a new application that someone could make. And so I think my task for this week is to actually do a little bit more searching intelligently to find out if I can find some kind of software that I can run on my pocket PC device, on my smartphone device. This, I don't know if this has happened to you, but my twin girls are 4.5, and they're extremely cautious and a bit apprehensive or nervous, I guess you'd say, around animals. They were, I guess for lack of a better term, they were slightly traumatized last winter when we were out sledding at the experimental farm, because some older lady's small, yappity, poodle-type, I guess you'd say, handbag-type dog came over and was super excited to see them and was yapping, yapping, jumping, jumping, yapping, jumping, yapping, jumping, and basically ended up getting a little bit too excited and knocked over both of the girls and started to lick their face and really just kind of terrorize them, because at that time they're only 3.5, and you know, I'll come close to saying that, you know, kind of emotionally scarred them, I guess, from an overprotective parent perspective. Fast forward by 1 year, they now are very apprehensive about any kind of barking dog, for obvious reasons, and they really just get all up in a tizzy whenever they get around them. Our next door neighbor, Dave, has got a nice Irish herding dog. I don't know what kind of dog it is. I'm not a dog guy. Irish Retriever, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, that dog's fine. It's larger, doesn't bark, very great around the girls. The girls love him to death, and they'll walk him and have a great time with him. Everything was good with that particular dog. So they're very selective with the dogs they get upset with. This past weekend, as I was trying to get to, they were invited to a little friend's birthday party. And they were starting to obsess about going to this little friend's birthday party. They're very excited about it. But then the day actually came, and you could sense that they just wasn't quite sitting right with Grace or with Ella very much. They were a little bit scared, I guess, a little bit apprehensive. They kept on asking me, so who is this, and where are we going, are we going to have fun, and what's going to happen? And then inevitably the question comes up, does she have a dog? Does she have a cat? Does she have any fish? I don't know why they're scared of fish, but she asked if they have any fish. Grace did. And I assured them, no, as far as I know, they don't have any dogs. They're already fine. You know her, you met her, you used to play with her here, you used to do this, you used to do that. So it comes time to go to the birthday party, and as we get closer to the time, and I'm driving down towards where we have to go and drop them off, I told them that, you know what, I'd go in there with them, I'd hang out, I'd drink coffee and relax, and they can go to the party. Not to worry that I'll be there, but we get out of the car, and all of a sudden, Gracie just loses it. Maybe she's tired. Maybe she's having a bad day. But she just starts to bawl her eyes out. I don't want to go. I didn't have a dog. Start getting upset. So I'm trying to talk her off the ledge and at the same time keep Ella from also falling over the ledge as well. And then she starts to go over the ledge. And we haven't even gotten to the door yet. And so as we approach the stairs to go up, it gets escalated. And it approaches the front door. Gracie stands still and she refuses to go in. She's worked herself up so much, she's convinced that they have a dog. She won't go in. So what do you do? Like, you're here, the birthday girl's expecting you, you're going to have a great time, your dad's going to be there, but neither of them have now decided that they want to go anymore, so they want to stay with me and not go at all. Even if I stayed there with them, they don't want to go. So, I guess you could say about 15 minutes pass as I'm chatting with them and as I'm smiling and being nice to the mom and to the little girl who comes to the door periodically to see how they're doing. And it's just not working. So, I'm faced with a difficult situation. I got to the point where Ella would be willing to come in with me, but Gracie was still adamant that she wasn't going to go. And obviously, I guess the Child Protection Agency would have something to say if I just left Grace in the car. But I said to Ella, I was like, I can't go without Grace. Grace's got to come. Grace doesn't want to go, Dad. I know. So I guess we're not going to go. But I want to make cookies, Dad. I want to bake. I want to dance. And I want to have fun. It's like, well, you know, we got to respect what Gracie doesn't feel comfortable. And so we're just not going to go. Finally, I make the call. Like I said, I've got the decision. Do I act like a big asshole and kind of force everybody in and know that it'll be all right in about 15, 20 minutes after we get in there? Or do I just, you know, back down and say, okay, I understand. So I turned to the mom who came out one more time and I said, you know, this just isn't working today. I think we're going to have to take a pass and say sorry to the little girl and let her know that Ella and Grace just can't make it today. And she was fine with it. She said that there's another girl that has a similar type of attachment issue, and it's just their age, and she understands. But, you know, it's tough to make those calls. Do you force your kid out of the comfort zone and bring them in and know that they'll be okay? Or do you just want to give him a big hug and take him out of there? So I chose the hug option this time around. That being said, I still wasn't exactly I was nice about it, but I was getting a little bit, you know, uncomfortable, as anyone would be, about the fact that you show up with your girls and your kids and they just can't keep it together. But at the same time, I'm also thankfully sympathetic and side on the same side as the other mother did that said, you know, it's all right. So what do? Well, took them back to the car about 15 minutes after being inside the car and belting up and a couple of meltdowns from Gracie because she was beyond being over the edge. She settled down and she's doing the kind of breathing as she's trying to settle down. I said, you know what, girls? Why don't you come on some errands with me instead of going home? Let's go off, do some errands. So let's go off to Home Depot and buy a Christmas tree. And that's how I ended up with our Christmas tree this year. Mac was off at another party, and I was going to have, if the girls made it off to this party, 3 hours of me time to go back and do whatever at the house, relax, sleep, play Xbox, clean, whatever. But instead, the girls opted out of the birthday party. I went along with it. First, it was a little bit tense in the car, but you know what? Chill out. Life's too short. Let's move and adapt and see where we go next. Home Depot, Christmas tree for $25. I'm looking at it right now. Still hasn't fallen yet. Better go get that humidifier. But all in all,